Santa Claus is coming to town.
You thought you'd escape Christmas carols for another year? Apologies. But now the silly season is over, let's reflect on Santa Claus. What are your memories of him? Well, I fortunately had a realist, sometimes brutally, mother, who refused to go along with the whole thing. But for many, Santa is a beloved figure of Western mythology. And he's also inextricably tied to materialism. Santa expresses his love and approval by handing out presents, sending a message to children that the better they are as a person, the more things they'll have. Santa's contribution to Christmas is another act of consumption, feeding the advertising machine and excluding those without wealth. Renowned Australian artist Ben Quilty explores the jolly fat man's dark side in his series The Bottom Feeders. It was on show at last year's Sydney Contemporary. And I asked Ben how he came to be thinking about and painting Santa.
Look, years ago I remember my little brother putting my son to bed on Christmas Eve, and Joey came out of his bedroom about an hour later saying, "I'm really scared that Santa's going to come into my room." And I said, "Simon, what did you say to him?" And he said, "Well, I told him the truth, that it's a big fat man with a beard that'll smell a bit like cigarettes and maybe has a beer in his hands going to sneak into his room in the middle of the night." And it actually, the new work that I've made is really that fellow, and I've used models, employed men, some friends and other models from model registries to come and model as Santa Claus, mostly naked in my studio, and made paintings, huge, big paintings of that figure, of that person, that are, I guess, metaphors for the way all of my straight white men are behaving or failing to behave in the Western world at the moment.
Mm. How particularly do you feel that straight white men are failing? Which I guess I count myself as one of those people.
How are they failing? Yeah. Why are they failing? I studied feminist theory when I was 25, and I remember some of the young female students in my class questioning why I would want to study feminist theory. And really it was to understand myself and the men that I was growing up with, and my father being the first, in a sense, when I look back on it, Dad was the first father to come through after the feminist revolution, trying to find a way to bring up boys when their unnatural role in contemporary society had totally been undone. And I still think men are floundering, really floundering now, and being shown up for their baseless behaviour.
And how do you think Santa Claus somehow epitomises that behaviour?
I went on a search for a straight white male figure that I could use, in a sense, to build the armature of what I wanted to say on. And I first of all came upon Jesus Christ, and I was brought up as a Catholic boy. I never believed, but was interested in the stories and fables, and I realised that using Jesus as that symbol is as dangerous as you can do in this community. I think you awaken the extremists, and it actually is, I think, a physically dangerous thing to do, and an unnecessary thing, I think. There's got to be a smarter, less offensive way of doing it. And I realised that poor old Santa has not a lot of allies anymore, and he is that figure that has been exploited and exploited and exploited for commercial reasons for many generations.
Yes.
And he's a straight white man, and so sadly for him, he's... he's being put up in the wall.
You're killing him off, Ben.
No.
Is Santa going to survive after this exhibition?
In a new form, hopefully brighter, okay, younger and less heavy.
Now, Ben, the title of this series more generally is The Bottom Feeders. Why?
Well, they're little fish that live on the bottom of ponds and live off other people's excrement. And I guess it's a bit of a joke on that word that... That in a sense, these men that are behaving so poorly, that are my menfolk, in a sense, they're taking up that mantle. That's the way they're headed, the political chaos of the last 15 years. On the way here into the studio, I was listening to The Herd's The Elephant Never Forgets, and they wrote that song in 2003, and I'd urge you everyone to listen to that song and think that 15 years ago The Herd was putting out a song, This Country Needs an Effing Wake Up. And it really, it was all around the way men were misbehaving 15 years ago, and things have only got worse, not better.
Yes.
And I guess I just wanted to use a term that's gross. The paintings are beautiful, the material is beautiful, the surface is beautiful, but the message is pretty dark.
Ben, can you describe one of those paintings? When I have images in front of me, but obviously I don't have your eye because yes. You actually made the painting. Can you describe one of them?
Yeah, one of them's the bottom feeder, Kenny Pancreatitis, and Kenny's a fella from local pub in my town. He's a good bloke. He's had a hard life. He's covered in tattoos, but he's a good man. He's got a good soul at the heart, in his heart of hearts, and he's modelled for me now for several paintings. And I got Kenny literally to sit there naked, and I've surrounded him with presents and candy canes, and candy canes are quite a phallic, funny sort of symbol of Christmas cheer. But saying that, I when I talk to friends, and particularly female friends, about this idea that I had to use Santa as build armature onto Santa Claus, it's surprising how many of them said, oh, yes, I remember sitting on Santa's knee in Castle Towers and feeling his erection. Really seedy stories about dressing up overweight men and getting children to line up and sit on their lap and photograph this being happened. It's quite a bizarre ritual that we involve ourselves in. So I used Kenny in a sense to make him that person, and the painting's huge and sort of lurid pink and presents almost as though he's drowning in presents and candy canes.
And Kenny's happy to be depicted in this kind of way.
Well, I pay Kenny.
Oh, okay.
And I'm supportive. You know, I tell him that this is not about him. I'm using, I need his figure to tell a story about broader issues, and it's not about him. And it's never really about the model in my studio. For some years now, I've had to rely on having the model in the studio, and their friends or paid models. And I use them, again, that word armature, I use them to load up the paintings with meaning, and I need that human form at the centre of it, because in the end I'm really interested in humans, I think.
Now, speaking, going on now to our life here, reality, not Santa Claus, Ben, you also have at Sydney Contemporary an installation. It's a kind of Christmas tree made up of Syrian life jackets. They're lit up, they sort of flicker on and off. Can you tell me about the making of this piece?
Yes, it's called Not a Creature Was Stirring, and it's made from thousands of life jackets, and I had some amazing people come to the studio and work to make quilts out of discarded refugee life jackets that I bought back from the shore of Lesbos. And they were all worn by Syrian people fleeing the war and trying to get their way, get to safety in Germany or anywhere in Europe. And we took the life jackets apart and then cut them up and put them back together into the form of a massive quilt that surrounds the steel structure like a huge Christmas tree. And it's filled with LED lights that flash beautifully. The material is very beautiful, the shapes are very beautiful, but the meaning of the flashing is actually Morse code for SOS. And it's a big, looming, dark, at first very beautiful thing. I think the best artwork's best when it's very beautiful, but then sells you the story so that you can tell any story using beauty as a tool, I guess. And I think this work is a good example of that. That I think the story underneath it is far, far darker.
Yeah. Now, Ben, over the last couple of years, you visited a number of refugee communities, haven't you? Where have you been to?
Well, Richard Flanagan took me over to Syria to tour the refugee camps around Syria in 2016, and since then I've been back and forwards, and in 2016, we followed the refugees. So we went through the Bekaa Valley from Syria and then across to the Greek islands of Lesbos and then up through Serbia, following the people as they made their way to Germany. But then more recently have been through Jordan and a lot of time in Lebanon visiting different refugee camps. And look, it's an incredible privilege, very confronting thing, but a privilege to see that part of history unravel,
yeah.
To see people's determination to survive, to see children's, the capabilities that children have to stay optimistic under the most extraordinary circumstances is very life-affirming, actually.
How do you cope with your feeling of responsibility to bring those stories back here to Australia?
When in 2016 there was a move by that government to cut funding, cut our international aid budget. And when you consider that our international aid budget is 21 cents in $100, and we're one of the wealthiest countries in the world, I find that actually physically makes me feel sick that we are that mean. It's shameful, and you know, I've been called un-Australian twice in my life, and I'm proud of it. If it means that standing up for simple things like caring for children in refugee camps, then I'm honoured to be un-Australian. I spent time there and I felt very compelled that the story needed to come back here, that people needed to be given access to empathy. It's hard to empathise with people when you're not with them and you have no experience of them. But children can tell that story. And that's the story that I've brought back.
Yeah. Now, Ben, speaking of that, you've just released a book of refugee children's drawings. It's called Home. Can you tell me just in a couple of minutes about this project and what you intend to do with it?
Yeah, it started with Richard. I was with Richard and helping him to illustrate a story he was writing to try and re-engage some funding and compassion back here in Australia and more broadly around Europe. And I was a sort of out of my depth. I'm so studio based, so I ended up caring for children while Richard interviewed their parents.
Yeah.
And I was in a Serbian transit station. It was minus 20 degrees, beautiful clear day, but freezing cold. And a little girl, a 6-year-old girl, Heba was her name, same age as my daughter at the time, in a little puffer jacket. And she sat down, and I sat with her and her brothers. And her brothers tore up my beautiful, expensive French paper and made paper airplanes out of it, and I saw them sail off into the Serbian sky. But when I turned back to Heba, she sat there and just drew and drew and drew, and I thought, this would have been me as a kid. That's what I would have been like. And through the translator, I asked her to draw her home, not thinking anything of it, and she stopped drawing the pretty trees and butterflies that she'd been drawing. And she drew an Apache attack helicopter with three barrel bombs and a pile of bricks with two bullet-ridden bodies beside it and blood draining from these little bodies. That's right at that moment, I thought, I can't tell this story better than Heba. And so we then went ahead with World Vision and funded and facilitated thousands of children's drawings, which are then collated. I curated them into the book called Home.
Mm. And all the proceeds go where, Ben?
That's right. All of the proceeds. So everyone gave their time. Penguin, yeah. Random House has given their time, and the designers did it for nothing. Everyone's given it up so that the funds will go directly back to the education centres in the refugee camps, Syrian refugee camps around Syria.
Wonderful. Now, Ben, you've got this exhibition coming up in 2019. Just briefly, how does it make you feel, this huge exhibition of your works at the Art Gallery of South Australia? Are you excited, nervous? How does a big thing
very,
like that make you feel?
I'm very nervous, Ed. Well, artists are meant to not be behind a microphone, firstly, and we're also meant
to be
in a studio
right.
On our own. Yeah, well, I've had practice.
Okay.
But we're not, you know, we are solitary creatures. We do inhabit a studio and we make our work on our own. So it's nerve-wracking, but it's a huge honour. I'm very excited. And Lisa Slade, the curator down at the Art Gallery of South Australia, is a colleague and friend from many, many years, and she knows my practice inside out and quite often writes essays that literally change the direction of my work. So for her to be curating this, it's a massive honour.
Ben, thank you so much for coming onto the Hub on Art. Go back to your studio now. No more microphones.
It's a pleasure, Ed. Thank you for having me.
Ben Quilty, he's an Archibald Prize winner and one of the biggest names in Australian contemporary art. And that body of work, The Bottom Feeders, was on display at Sydney Contemporary last year, about the same time as his book came out. It's called Home, Drawings by Syrian Children, and it's published by Penguin Books. 2019 is a big year for Ben Quilty, with a major exhibition touring some of our state galleries. It's called simply Quilty, and it will be at the Art Gallery of South Australia from March to June, Kagomo in Brisbane from June to October, then the Art Gallery of New South Wales from November 2019 to February 2020.